Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Lynn Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. This is episode 99, which is extremely crazy because 99 episodes that we have done at this point. Actually, it really seems like it flew by. I know it's so cliche to say that time flies and it flew by, but it really does feel like it flew by. I mean, we started the show in, I want to say, October of 2017, so you know, we'll be coming up on 2 years that we've been broadcasting live, me and my boy Lee. We'll be coming up on 2 years, me and Lee doing this show, and then October. So that's really, really crazy. I can't believe that. You know, we definitely have a couple things that we're going to want to get into tonight. We have UFC 238, which is going to be a big card, big, crazy card. That's next weekend. We have Fight Night 153. Got Alexander Gustafsson fighting Anthony Smith, you know, two former title challengers. Both of them happened to had fallen short to when they fought John Jones. Those are his last two challengers for the title. And, but, you know, both of those guys are still top competitors in the division. And, you know, I'd probably take them to win, probably take them over most of the guys in the division. You know, there's always Johnny Walker right there too. And that, I mean, either one of them against Johnny Walker is kind of like a tough bet to make. I don't really know what or where I would go with that. But, you know, either of those guys against most of these other light heavyweight contenders, I'd probably take either one of those guys. So, you know, if Gustafsson were to have fought Corey Anderson, I know that fight was on the table for a minute, but it didn't end up happening. That might be a pick 'em fight for me because I don't know. I don't know what the odds makers would say, but I'd say that'd probably be a pick 'em fight for me. You know, and that might actually end up happening, if not sooner than later, because, you know, I expect Gustafsson to lose to Anthony Smith this weekend. And I figure Corey Anderson, I'm not sure if he has a fight book, but I think Gustafsson could be a good fight for him after that. I also expect Thiago Santos is going to lose to John Jones, so I figure you could have either Gustafsson fight Corey Anderson or Gustafsson and Thiago Santos after those two fights happen. And then you'll probably have Anthony Smith fight Rockhold. I think Luke Rockhold will get past Jamin Blachowicz at UFC 239, so you probably end up having Lionheart Smith fighting Rockhold after that, and then I would think the winner of that will probably fight John Jones again. I don't know if they'll want to do Smith and Jones again, but I do expect if Rockhold wins that they'll probably have Rockhold jump in there because there's really not too many guys to fight in the division. It's kind of a shallow division, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming up. What up, Lee? I just seen you jump in here. What up, bro?
Yo, what's going on, my man? What's going on?
Not much, bro. I was just telling the people about all the events that are coming up. You got this weekend's Fight Night card, and then next weekend's the UFC 238, which is going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think I was listening to you go over the light heavyweight division. I think if Rocco gets past Blachowicz, I think they'll probably have him go against Johnny Walker. I don't know what they would do with Anthony Smith if he was to beat Alexander Gustafsson, because I know they don't want to run back Gustafsson and John again. I know they don't want to do that. I know they don't want to rush Rockhold into a title fight against John. They probably want him to get at least two or three fights at light heavyweight under his belt. One thing I could probably see happening is probably if Anthony Smith wins, he'll probably fight Santos, because I'm thinking Santos is going to lose to John. And I'm thinking probably whoever is number three or number four, let me pull it up real quick, they might have a better chance of getting a title fight than them running back Anthony Smith and John right away, because Anthony Smith really wasn't competitive in that fight, and I just don't see the UFC rushing that fight. Only thing that the UFC probably could hope for is that John beats Santos, and then DC beats Stipe, and then DC says that he wants to fight John at his last fight at 205. I think that's what they will what the UFC will probably shoot for, but I just don't see what John Jones really makes out in this, in that whole situation. But I'm kind of with you with Corey Anderson. I wouldn't mind saying Corey Anderson against Dominique Reyes. I think Uzdemir has a fight coming up. Yeah, man, I just really don't see any stiff competition for John at 205 right now, because none of these guys are really – I mean, Johnny Walker has jumped off the screen because the guys he beat, he really has really just taken them out really quick. But my whole thing with him is, what is he going to do in a fight where you're not going to finish a guy in the first round, that you got to go into the third round, the fourth round? What can he do in a real fight? So I guess we just got to see how this plays out, man. Because I think Santos, I think he's going to come in there against John, and he's going to come in there and try to push the pace. I think John probably take him down a couple times, and that'll back him up, and then that'll let John get tactical and technical with him. So we'll see how it plays out, man.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point that you made about what can John, you know, it's a good question. What can Johnny Walker do if he gets dragged into the championship rounds? Like, we haven't seen him in a real fight yet. I mean, he really has ran through everybody that he's fought, to be honest. Like, there really was no competitiveness in any of his fights. So I think, like, the three fights he's had don't even – if you add up all the time, it doesn't even add up to five whole minutes. So he really hasn't even fought, like, a whole round yet, if you really put it in UFC's, like, terms. He really hasn't fought a full first round in any of his fights. Or even combined, he hasn't even fought a full round. So, I mean, that's
plus, he's number 12.
That's a good...
He's number 12 right now. He's ranked number 12 right now in the light heavyweight division. So, I mean, he has a ways to go. I mean, I know you tweeted out earlier that he might be two fights away, maybe three fights away, but it depends on who are those two or three fights. You know, is it going to be guys that are falling down the rankings instead of moving up the rankings, or is his next fight going to be against I know somebody, me and you both like Corey Anderson, or Johnny Walker going to challenge Corey Anderson. But I don't see why Corey Anderson will fight a number 12 guy when he's ranked number 8. So it all depends on guys accepting fights against Johnny Walker right now. But, you know, you never know how it plays out, man. I think with Walker, he just has to keep fighting, keep hoping that guys above, that's ranked above him, give him an opportunity. And see whether or not he can be in the top five by the end of the year. Because I think John is going to take some time off after this Santos fight. Don't you think so? Because, well, this will be, his third fight since December?
Yeah, this will be his third fight in 7 months. So he's been really going back to back to back lately. Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a break. It's just and Johnny Walker being number 12, you know, it's a testament to his last opponent. I mean, he fought Misha Serkinov, who was number 14, and he knocked out Serkinov in like a minute or something like that. And so I mean, you can't. He was bound to go, jump into the rankings after that. You beat the number 14 guy. Or he might have been, Turgenev might have been like the number 13 or number 12. He might have went down and Walker jumped into the rankings. So you got to give him his respect there for beating a ranked guy. But he still does have a long way to go. It's just that guys can really jump spots. I mean, especially when there's really not that much competition in the light heavyweight division. I mean, it seems like there is. Like, depending on the way you sell it. speaking of which, if you look at my Fights to Watch article for UFC Stockholm, I really sold it with the light heavyweight showcase. I mean, the way you break down the guys, they definitely got good fight records. They definitely have had impressive careers, but they've had up and down careers. I mean, some of the best guys in the division, like Volkan Ozdemir, you know, he's had really impressive finishes and impressive wins, but he's had really bad losses at the same time lately. Same thing with Jimmy Manuwa. Jimmy Manuwa's had really impressive wins. You know, he's definitely a finisher. He's got a lot of knockouts under his belt, just like Volkan. But he's also had really bad losses, and he's been losing a lot lately, both of those two guys. And at the same time, you have guys like, you know, Ayer Latifi, who are just really up-and-down fighters. He'll win a fight, then lose a fight, then win a fight, then you expect him to win, he loses. Or he might lose two in a row. So then Corey Anderson, same thing. You know, he's beaten good guys, but he's really lost at the same time when he needed to win. Like in the Manuwa fight, he got knocked out. You know, he had that main event spot to make a statement. He got knocked out. So you have really up and down fighters and then guys who go on winning streaks, then go on losing streaks. And that's kind of what the division is made up of. Same with Jan Blachowicz. He's an up and down fighter. He'll win one and lose one. Dominic Reyes is out here, you know, committing robberies with a fake undefeated record that is not legitimate because Volkan just beat him fair and square in that last fight. Don't even make sense. Judges gave him the fight, which was a complete fluke. So if you disagree, go back and watch the clips from that fight and tell me honestly that Reyes beat Volkan because that's
fight.
A lie. He lost that
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, he lost that
fight. And that was disrespect to Volkan because he had a good performance. And the thing that was about it was that I noticed was right away in the first round, Volkan was – he usually does a stand and bang. But you've seen him in the clinch. He was holding Reyes against the cage. And you even saw a little bit of wrestling from Volkan in that fight, which you saw a little bit of top game from Volkan in that fight, which was, you know, that showed me, okay, this guy's been, you know, drilling some different things in his camp, not just trying to punch a go in there and punch a guy's head off. So – I think it was real disrespect that they even wouldn't give him that fight because you just saw the advancement. Reyes didn't do anything. He didn't even control the fight at all. So I'm disgusted by that. Reyes is not undefeated. He lost. And that guy, he's not a top contender. He's actually the number five, and he's not a top contender at this point. So that's a snooze to me right there. And then after that, you have more guys who up and down. Anthony Smith, he wins, and then he loses. When you expect him to win, Thiago Santos, you know, couldn't beat the best guys at middleweight. So he moved up to 205, and I'm just not sure he could beat the best guys here either. I mean, he looked impressive versus Blachowicz. Blachowicz kind of ran into that shot, though. I mean, I'll tell you this, Jon Jones is not going to run into that shot. So people that are betting on Thiago Santos, you know, I give it the respect because he was in my pound-for-pound list. When we did the pound-for-pound list probably like a month or so ago, I had Adesanya and Thiago Santos at, I think, 9 and 10 in my top 10 pound-for-pound in the UFC. I think Thiago is one of the best fighters right now overall, been most impressive, most improved. But you're going to lose money if you bet on him. I'm just telling you because Jon Jones is not that stupid to run into that shot. So just replaying that moment back in some of his biggest wins – and it's not going to be the same thing when he gets in there in Las Vegas. So that's just what that is. So take that bet off for the end of this month.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, being that Anthony Smith and Alexander is fighting Saturday, did you hear that Lionheart is going into this fight with no game plan? He's just going to go in there and let his hands go? And that's going to be his plan of attack. do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea going against Gustafsson in Stockholm, that he has no game plan? He's just going to, I guess, go in there and just let his hands go and just fight?
You know, I was actually I actually was watching his interview earlier today while I was eating my breakfast. I was watching his interview with Ariel Helwani, and I actually listened to probably like the first 10 minutes of it, but I didn't get to that point. I must have turned it off before I heard that, because, you know, I watch a chunk of the interview, but I'm not watching like a half hour's worth of interview. I ain't got time like that. But I missed him saying that, and I'm kind of glad, because that kind of makes me a little worried. You know, even though Gustafsson has been his guys aren't really scared of Gustafsson at this point because of the way that he's looked in his biggest fights. I mean, one of the last times the UFC came to Stockholm, Sweden, he got knocked out by Robert Johnson in the main event, and then that was probably one of two of his biggest, well, one of his top three biggest fights. You know, his other two times he fought John Jones, and you know, one of the times he looked really good, and then the time when he had a chance for redemption, he talked a big game, and then he got dominated. So I don't think guys are really scared of Gustafsson at this point. But at the same time, I don't think that is really smart either, because he's still dangerous and he's still good money in this division. I don't really know how to better put it in words, but Gustafsson's still a game opponent in the light heavyweight division. So that kind of worries me that Smith is just going to have no game plan for the fight. You know, I do think Smith can beat Gustafsson, but if he's just going to go in there and just freestyle it, I mean, that does make me a little worried about him.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, because whether or not, you know, you like Alexander or not, he's still a pretty good fighter that needs to be respected. And he can be technical at the same time. So if you go in there with no game plan, hoping that you're just going to go in there and land a shot on him, then if he figures out your timing, he's going to do to you what he did to Glover Teixeira. You know, he let Glover got off a little bit in the early rounds, and then when Alexander figured him out, he started applying pressure to him, and he ended up getting the finish. And I think Anthony Smith, this is a bad idea, bro. It's like, I understand that whatever you tried against John Jones, he shut it down, because that's the type of fighter John is. John is not going to let you come in there and get off with your plan A. You got to have a plan B and a plan C when you're fighting John Jones. That's just the way it is. Daniel Cormier has said it himself. Daniel Cormier said that when he fights John, he can't go in there with a specific game plan. He has to go in there and be willing to switch things up depending on how the fight goes. And I think against Gustafsson, Smith, he's gonna need to do the same thing, because Gustafsson is a top flight fighter. I mean, yeah, he hasn't won the big one yet, but there's a lot of fighters that haven't won the big one. Donald Cerrone hasn't won the big one. Name escapes me right now. Anthony Pettis hasn't won a big one in a while. There's a lot of guys that haven't won the big one. Who?
Kelvin Gastelum hasn't won the big one, but he's a top five.
Yeah,
guy.
Kelvin Gastelum hasn't won the big one. Yoel Romero hasn't won the big one. You know, even though he's very competitive, but you can't go into a fight against a fighter of Gustafsson's caliber with the game plan of, I'm just going to let my hands go and see what happens. That's not a good game plan. And for him to even say that on the radio, basically that's totally disrespectful to Gustafsson. And number two, that means to me that he still hasn't got over the fight against John Jones.
Yeah, the way he sounded when I was listening to it, eating my Special K Asian grain cereal this morning, was he sounded like that he was still in an emotional state about it, about losing John and just the way that it played out versus maybe the way he expected it to play out. And he was saying, like, it felt like when he walked out of there, like, he'd taken losses in the past where he was able to still walk out with his head high because he gave the fight everything he had before it was said and done. But this fight, he said that he wasn't able to. He was more hurt by it because he walked out of there feeling like he wasn't able to give it. Like, he still had more in the tank. He wasn't able to show his whole arsenal. And yeah, I think he's still, I think you might be hitting home with that, is that he, I don't think he's really past that loss yet. So I didn't know that he wasn't going to have a game plan. That's kind of, like I said, that worries me going against Gustafson. You know, one thing about Gustafson is his boxing is. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you, man, because it's like, yo, Anthony, man. You still fighting a top five guy. You not fighting a dude that's coming up on short notice, you know, from his basement training to be a UFC fighter. You're fighting a guy that just fought for the belt right before you did. So, come on, man. And then for him to say that, I was so disappointed with him saying that. I don't care if you think that, but for him to say it, it was just so disrespectful, man. I'm trying to find a tweet right now. So you go ahead and finish your thought up while I try to find a tweet where I think Ariel Helwani actually tweeted it out that Anthony Smith had said that.
Yeah, no, all I was going to say to you know, cap it off was that Gustafson is a really great boxer. You know, out of everybody in the UFC, not even the light heavyweight, forget light heavyweight, just the whole UFC, Gustafson's probably one of the best boxers in the UFC, if we're being honest. He's excellent. And that's the reason why he looks so good against guys that are willing to just stand and bang with him. He looks great against guys like that. And a lot of guys can't take him down. If you can take him down, you know, guys have had success. If you can keep him down, you know, John Jones said after, you know, he and his camp noticed that after, I think it was like after 30 seconds, Gustafson gives up if he's being, you know, controlled on the ground. If he's in bottom position for more than 30 seconds, he gives up. So that was something that that John and his camp, they knew that going into the second fight. And that's what he showed us with that third round finish. You know, he was in top position. He was hammering away at Gustafson, and, you know, he got the finish. And but a lot of guys can't do that, Gustafson. You can't get him in that position. If you're going to stand and bang with him, you're going to take some shots, and you're not in safe territory. Gustafson's an excellent boxer. That's at least my opinion. I think he's one of the best boxers in the UFC still, so if you're going to play his game,
yeah.
I think Smith, for the most part, will. You know, we saw in the first, I think it was the first round or, you know, 1.5 rounds versus Volkan, Smith really played his game and let Volkan throw some of his heavy shots, you know, coming out the barrel, because that's how Volkan plays it. He comes out, you know, out the gate throwing heavy hands. He's trying to take your head off right away. Volkan's name is No Time for a reason, because he don't have time to be giving you more rounds. Volkan tries to get you out of there, you know, in the first three minutes, and Smith let him throw his heavy shots, and then he took him down and he got a submission victory. But he had to play it in a different way. Like, if Smith is gonna have no game plan, I'm just wondering, what's your game plan when you have no game plan? Are you just going to respond on the fly? Like, is he going to just stand and bang and try to outbox Gustafson for 5 rounds and try to just land that that one shot that can put him away, I mean, that might not be that easy to do. And then is he going to – or is he going to try to, you know, secure a takedown at some point and get Gustafson down and try to, you know, lock in some type of – you know, get top position, try to lock in some kind of submission hold and tap him out of it? I don't know what the plan is for that. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I found a tweet. It came from Front Page MMA. At Front Page MMA, shout out. He actually tweeted, Anthony Smith made an interesting revelation as he stated he has no game plan in place for his contest against Alexander Gustafson. He plans to go back to his brawler style. And then somebody replied to that and said, that's how you get 14 losses on your record.
Wow.
So, you know, man, we'll see how it plays out. But what else you got on your mind tonight?
Yeah, so, you know, I had a couple things in my mind. I wanted to ask you about UFC 238, but there's only one fight in particular. Actually, there's two fights, actually, that I want to ask you about. We might only have time to get to one of them, but in case that we only have time to get to one of them, I just wanted to make sure I get this shout-out out the way beforehand, before we get into it. Shout out to UFC bantamweight Aljamain Sterling. You know, he's going to be fighting at UFC 238. I actually had tweeted him. I had tweeted something at Aljamain Sterling earlier today, and he actually responded to me. And I appreciate that. You know, Aljamain Sterling, I've been watching him since he was an unranked fighter in the UFC. And I remember watching him in his first fight when nobody knew who he was. I was watching him with a couple buddies, and I was like, man, look at this Sterling guy. This kid's going to be good. Like, this kid's going up there, and surely enough, he did, and he rose up, and now he's pretty much, like, one fight out of a title fight. I mean, he could easily be, if he has a big or impressive win at 238, he might be the next guy to fight for the bantamweight title. So, you know, I tweeted him, you know, something along those lines, and he responded to me, so I just want to send a shout-out to Aljamain Sterling. You the man, bro. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, man, I like Aljo too, man. I read a funny tweet about him where somebody said, Mujos is going to make you bleed. And then Aljo was like, nah, I don't fight that type of fight. I fight smart. I use range. I use kicks. And I use my speed. So I don't plan on bleeding. Something like that. It was actually a pretty cool tweet he sent out. But, yeah, man, this 238 card is all about the 135 division. You know, you got Moraes and Cejudo, Rivera Young, and then you got Aljamain Sterling and Munoz fight, which I thought should have been possibly the prelim headliner or maybe even on the main card. But I guess they didn't want to have too many bantamweights on the main card. Because you have Shevchenko and I first and Cerrone on that card also. So that 238 is loaded, man.
Yeah, that's a really good card. I'm really happy with that. It's that's pretty much my birthday weekend too, so I'm really happy with that. I'm really gonna be trying to I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be able to watch the card too. I'm almost positive. I mean, this weekend I'm gonna miss UFC Stockholm. Because I got one of my brothers to get married, so I'm going to be at a wedding. I'm not going to be able to watch UFC this weekend. But I know next weekend I'm pretty sure I'll be good, so that's perfect because that one I'm really excited for. You know, I'm definitely more excited for that one than I am for UFC Stockholm. You know, I appreciate all the fight night cards, but, like, it's 238 is just far too stacked for me to underappreciate a card like that. I mean, you also have Cerrone fighting – Cerrone's fighting the boogeyman Tony Ferguson, so that's really crazy. That's probably like my most excited one right there. Seeing those two go at it, that's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the fight I'm looking forward to is definitely, I want to see Moraes knock Cejudo's head off the show. Definitely Ferguson and Cerrone, but I want to see what Peter Yan does against Jimmy Rivera, man. Because Jimmy Rivera was on a trajectory to basically be challenging for the belt right now, you know. But then, you know, he dropped the fight to Aljamain Sterling. And, you know, he's kind of like fell back a little bit. So I want to see him fight his way back to the top, you know, see how he looks against Peter Yan, see how Yan looks against, you know, a guy of Jimmy's caliber. So we'll see what happens because, like I said, Rivera lost to Aljamain Sterling. He got knocked out by Marlon Moraes. He had a lackluster performance against John Dodson. But up to that point, you know, he was on the tear. So we'll see what happens, man. But that's one fight I'm going to keep my eye on for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, Jimmy Rivera was like 20-0. At one point, and then he kind of been up and down lately. Ever since he got knocked out by Moraes, he kind of been like a win one, lose one kind of run. Because I know he had the fight with Dodson, that he won a decision there. He looked pretty good in the first Dodson, but Dodson also didn't look very good, so that might be part of that. And then he had, I think he had the Aljo fight after that. He lost, and then now he's fighting Piotr Jan, who's is a good rising contender. This is a Jan is definitely not John Dodson, I'll say that. So I think Rivera is in a position where it's like he's kind of in a must-win situation versus a guy who is just up and comer who's really hungry, and it's going to be a battle, I think. You know, I didn't see Piotr Jan's last fight. I don't even remember who he fought, honestly, but it's probably because I didn't see it, but I heard that Jan dominated his last fight. So Rivera's definitely got his hands full. This card is the bantamweight showcase. That's what this is. This is, you have like four big bantamweight fights on this card, and it's going to be amazing. Plus the Cerrone and Ferguson and Shevchenko, Jessica Eye. This is just a really crazy card, so. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, Peter Yan, his last fight was against John Dodson also, February 23rd. So, you know, I'm looking at the guys he has fought. And to be honest, I really don't know nobody up here except for John Dodson. So in the UFC, he is 1-2-3-4-0. You know, I don't really don't care about these other organizations unless it's WEC or Strikeforce or Bellator. But, yeah, man, he's 4-0 in the UFC. But he hasn't really fought anybody, you know, outside of John Dodson. So we'll see what happens when he fights Jimmy Rivera. In a way, I'm kind of leaning towards Rivera to win this fight. But Jan is a different beast from John Dodson. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, we'll definitely get into that card more next week. You know, we'll try to get back on for our usual Wednesdays, 8 o'clock next week, and cover that a couple days before the event. And we'll give both of our official predictions like we usually do. And we always like to have our official predictions for the fans a couple of days out before a major event. So, you know, we'll definitely be doing that next Wednesday, 8 o'clock, at our usual time. So definitely tune in for that. And also, everybody, my birthday is on June 12th. So don't forget about me. At me on Twitter. Say happy birthday if you remember. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about was... Now, this is kind of a random thing. There was another thing that I wanted to bring up. There's two things, actually. Two things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, what is going on with boxing? I seen you say a really funny thing about boxing the other day, and I was like, you know, I got to have you break this down for us and just tell me what's going on. Because also, I watched an interview this morning. I think it was like an ESPN reporter interviewed Tyson Fury, and you know, everybody knows Tyson Fury's been, I think he's like 21-0. He just had the draw with Deontay Wilder, and then he was like, you know, I'm pretty sure he was the champion, and then he left as the champion. He never lost the belt, so you know, a lot of people still regard him as, you know, the heavyweight champion of the world, even though there's like so many different titles in boxing. So it's like kind of got to keep track of like which heavyweight champion are you.
Yeah.
There are so many belts that it's like, damn, which champion are you? But you got like the WBC champ, the WBO champ, the IBF champ, the this champ, that champ. Like, I don't even know what's going on. But yeah, Tyson Fury basically, you know, he has a fight coming up with some guy, you know, who is not Deontay Wilder rematch, who's not Anthony Joshua. Joshua's got a fight coming up with some guy that's not Deontay Wilder and that's not Tyson Fury. And Wilder just fought some guy who wasn't Tyson Fury and was not Anthony Joshua. And I don't know that either one of those fights are in negotiations right now with any of those three. So that's something that you were talking about. And Tyson Fury said it in the interview too, that, you know, it seemed like, you know, he didn't directly say it, but the interviewer kind of suggested it, and I think Fury kind of explained why, that he kind of has more respect for a guy like Wilder, because Wilder stepped up to the plate, and Wilder takes fights with the best guys. Fury said he more or less feels like Joshua doesn't take fights with the best guys. He takes fights, you know, only on his home soil. Over in the UK, he doesn't want to come fight the best guys in the States, and he doesn't really respect that, you know, as where Wilder has fought the best guys, and, you know, and Fury himself has traveled to fight the best guys in their home countries, and Joshua doesn't do that, you know, and as the champion, he should be coming to America to fight, and he should be, you know, chasing after fights with Wilder. The American heavyweight champion and chasing fights with Fury, his two biggest challenges, but he fights these other guys. And Wilder, you know, stepped up to the plate and fought Fury, but Joshua hasn't. So I think he was, you know, he seemed disappointed with that Joshua hasn't stepped up to the plate. And I seen you talking about this similar thing on Twitter the other day. So I'll just ask you now, how do you feel about it?
Man, boxing is an absolute joke, man. Boxing is one of these things where the fighters let the promoters run their careers, where the promoters work for the fighter. When I saw this fight announced, that's what really kind of like pissed me off. I ain't gonna say it pissed me off. But it just made it clear to me that boxing is a joke. When they announced Keith Thurman versus Manny Pacquiao, I was like, man, come on, man. Terrence Crawford is out here begging for competition, and you're going to go take a fight against Manny Pacquiao instead of fighting Crawford, who is basically recognized as one of the top four welterweights in the division, because you had Errol Spence, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, and Terrence Crawford. They all have belts. Those are the four recognized belts in boxing. If Errol Spence is going to fight Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, your responsibility is to fight Terrence Crawford. That way, we are halfway to unifying the belts. But no, boxers go after money fights instead of go after being recognized as the greatest. Now, with the heavyweight division, the whole world knows it's Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, and Deontay Wilder. I tweeted this, I want to say last weekend or sometime last week. Tyson Fury is actually the man that holds all the cards in the heavyweight division, because he's willing to go and fight Joshua in the UK. I think if Fury was to go over to the UK and fight Joshua and win, he wouldn't give Joshua a media rematch. he would then accept a fight with Deontay Wilder, probably in Las Vegas, to unify the heavyweight belts. Because that's the type of guy Tyson Fury is. Anthony Joshua called out Deontay Wilder for a fight April 13th at Wembley Stadium. April 13th is come and gone, and he didn't fight in Wembley Stadium. Actually, he's fighting June 10th in New York, I want to say, against somebody I have never heard of. Joshua is the reason. Joshua is the reason that guys that come from Europe will never be recognized as superstar fighters because they refuse to fight big fights outside of their homeland. Klitschko was viewed like that until he started fighting in the States. Once Klitschko started fighting in the States, boxing fans accepted him and recognized him as the great fighter he was. Now, Fury declined the rematch against Wilder. I get it. He decided he was going to go sign a deal with DAZN, make some big money, you know. Cause so, you know, he had lost a year, maybe a year and a half of his career due to his drug suspension and getting his life together. So he's trying to recoup some money that he's lost. But I think he could have still made major money on a rematch with Wilder, but I get it. Now, while Wilder took this fight against Ruiz that I read about, I want to say yesterday, a guy he already beaten, and he knocked him out, there was no controversy. There was no way anybody could say it was a close fight because he knocked the guy out. I don't understand that fight for Wilder. So, boxing, they need one thing. You can't have 17 belts and 17 champions. You need to go back to the old days. You got to go back to the old days, man. You got to go back to the WBO, WBC, and I want to say IBF. Each one of those need to come up with their own top 10. And basically, the champions from the WBO, WBC, and IBF, they fight each other to unify the belt. And they fight the mandatory challenger from each division in succession until they lose. Man, boxing, oh my God, man, it's so frustrating because it's not hard to fix boxing. Boxing needs to sit down in front of a mirror and say, do we like our product? And I think the answer would truly be no. Do the fans like our product? And the answer would truly be no. You have to fix boxing so that it becomes more relevant. I don't even really care for boxing. I mean, I used to be a big fan of boxing back in the day when they used to have good fights on the Wild World Sports, the Agony of Defeat, and all that good stuff. When they used to show Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, fighting on regular TV and stuff like that. But Floyd Mayweather has truly ruined boxing with the way his career went. Floyd handpicked his opponents. He handpicked where he will fight. He made it all about the promoting of the fights instead of the actual fight team. And everybody behind him has followed suit, except Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford is the only guy out there that's willing to fight you anywhere, anytime for a belt. And I just feel bad for boxing, man. It's just not a quality product. That's it. It's just not a quality product no more, man. It doesn't spark the interest. It only sparks the interest of people when it's considered a big fight and we know the two guys that are fighting. And that's sad.
Yeah, Not like in the UFC where a lot of fights are interesting, even if it's not necessarily a big fight.
But see, the UFC has a way of, you know, you get the fans, you get the fights that we're supposed to get. You know, sometimes we don't. Like when DC was supposed to fight Brock Lesnar, that wasn't a fight people was clamoring for. But at the same time, who wasn't happy when it was announced that you was going to have Tony Ferguson fighting Donald Cerrone? Who wasn't happy when it was announced that, you know, we was going to get Ben Askren and Jorge Masvidal? Who wasn't happy when it was announced that we was going to get Stipe versus DC 2? Only fights that we aren't happy about is when we feel like it's a non-competitive fight as UFC fans. Those are the only fights we really don't care about. Like right now, a lot of people aren't really into the John Jones, Thiago Santos fight because a lot of people feel that Jones is so much better than him. But at the same time, a lot of people will tune in because a lot of people rather see John Jones lose than to see him win. So you still have storylines in a lot of fights in the UFC where the storylines of boxing always revolve around the promoters and how much money the fighters make.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, it's you know, one thing that I wanted to point out about it was that it, you know, Tyson Fury said in the interview, and one thing that I didn't even know about was that, like, at first I didn't know why he signed the deal with ESPN and Top Rank Boxing, because Wilder fights on Showtime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Fury signed with ESPN, it makes it harder for the two of them to get their rematch because they fight for different promotions.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. All right, well,
because
the point of what I was trying to say, though, the question I wanted to ask, but it wasn't based on that, was Fury said that he doesn't want to fight on Showtime again. So he wants to rematch Wilder, but he doesn't want to rematch him under Showtime promotion because their first fight only did, like, I think he said it was like 325,000 viewers or so, maybe 325,000 pay-per-views. And he said, I feel like this is a much bigger fight than 325,000 viewers. And he said, when I go to ESPN, I believe this is a much bigger network, and we should have the rematch under ESPN promotion where we'll get a lot the amount of viewership that this fight deserves since it's such a big fight. So when he said that, I respected that. I understood. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I respect that too. But the thing with ESPN is they're willing to negotiate any pay-per-views with another network, so that, you know, the fight will happen. The ESPN right now, they're trying to build their brand in boxing. So they are willing to be, I don't want to say the B side, but they're willing to be the good guy to make certain fights happen. You know, Lomachenko is on ESPN. Terrence Crawford is on ESPN. I want to say Fury is now on DAZN now. I want to say he signed a deal with DAZN. So, you know, that's a whole different entity within itself. But Fury actually has to look at it this way. There were only that many buys because, number one, he had been off a year and a half, almost 2 years. Number two, the interest in boxing has definitely dwindled. And number three, people are cautious now about how they spend their money on pay-per-views. A lot of us now, we would rather go watch it somewhere than to actually shell out the money for a pay-per-view. you know, especially a boxing pay-per-view, where, you know, let's be honest, there's a whole people fighting on a card that you don't even know. Whereas on the UFC prelim card, there's a lot of people out there that we do know and we follow their career, and it's probably going to be more adventurous or more exciting. So I get what Fury was saying.
Well, in boxing, you never see guys getting promoted. Like, you never know who the people are because you never hear anything about the other fighters. All the promotion is usually about that one big fight, and it seemed like they really, like, how would you know who's on the prelim card because they don't even advertise it. The UFC, one thing I can give them props is they have promotion for all of their cards, even the Fight Pass prelims. They have like a whole separate budget that goes into the Fight Pass prelims promotion. So you even know who's on those cards a little bit, you know more than you would think. And that's like, you know, the fights at 6 o'clock in the afternoon when the main card isn't even until 10 o'clock usually. So that's one thing I can give props about to the UFC. You know, and one last thing that I wanted to ask you how you feel about this is, you know, one thing that comes with next week with the UFC 238 is that you have your boy Henry Cejudo. Yeah, your boy is fighting Marlon Moraes. And the funny thing is, Marlon Moraes is only like 4. I think he's only like 4-0 in the UFC, and he's fighting for the title. I mean, that happens a lot now. Guys go like 3-0 and they'll fight for the title because there's really just not enough guys in the division that are on win streaks to really warrant anybody. Like, there's usually no one on a better streak than that because guys are up and down, or there's just not that many like fighters like him who secure finishes. Like, I think Marlon Moraes has like 4 finishes in a row right now. So there's just not a lot of fighters like that. But I'm getting away from my point. What I was trying to say was you have the Cejudo and Moraes fight for the bantamweight belt. But the funny part about this is that Henry Cejudo, part of his thing when he was going to – in the build-up, once he had that, what you have called many times, a fluke win versus Demetrius Johnson, right after that, you know they started trying to get the hype going for a Dillashaw and Cejudo fight because originally you were supposed to have – TJ fighting Demetrius Johnson. But then TJ won that night and DJ lost. So then they end up having the two winners. They try to get that promotion going. So then in the build up to that fight, one of Cejudo's basically his main theme of what he was saying when he was promoting the fight was that he was saving the flyweight division. He was going to beat Dillashaw and save the flyweight division. Now, this is funny now because so he beats Dillashaw and then after saying that he was saving the flyweight division, what did he do right after that? He moves up to bantamweight to go fight for the bantamweight title. So I don't understand how if you said you were saving the flyweight division, right after that you moved up to a different division. You basically left him in the dust. So you're the flyweight champion, but you left the division. So how does that make the UFC any more a bit enticed to keep your division when the champion isn't even interested in fighting in his division? He just moved up to the bantamweight. So I don't understand how that's saving at all. It seems like the complete opposite of saving the division, if you ask me. But and to titillate us, I'm going to add one more little bit of sauce onto it, is that there was a report earlier from a very legitimate source. I can't Aaron Bronster. I can't pronounce his. It's a little bit longer than that. You know, this guy, he posts tons of UFC news. He's a big reporter out there. And this guy, he had reported earlier that the UFC had just cut another flyweight today, or maybe yesterday in the past 24 hours or so. And that after that move, that brings the flyweight division down. Now, are you ready for this? The flyweight division only consists of 10 fighters at this point. So you don't even have a whole full ranked ladder where each division has 15. Isn't it 15? Yeah, there's a top 15.
Yeah.
ranked fighters in every division. Then you also have unranked fighters. So each division probably has between, like, somewhere between 20 and, I'd say, 20 and 30 fighters in each division. The flyweight division, after that cut, only has 10 total fighters. So at this point, I think it's safe to say that by the end of 2019, the flyweight division will likely be almost entirely dissolved and will be gone. Because you see these fighters are starting to move, like Sergio Pettis, they're starting to move up and fight 135. Maybe because they know their division is going out the window. Maybe that's the reason why Cejudo is moving up to bantamweight, because he knows the division is leaving anyways. And maybe they told him, maybe they forced him to move up and said, you can't defend your belt here against Jossie Formiga because we're getting rid of the division. We're not booking a flyweight title fight. We're going to do a bantamweight title fight. You have to move up. So that's another angle to look at it from. He might not have had a choice. What do you think about that? The flyweight division is getting smaller and smaller.
I think Cejudo, he said all the right things leading up to the Demetrius Johnson fight. I think Cejudo played on a lot of UFC fans' emotions leading up to the Demetrius Johnson fight. I think if DJ would have beat him, DJ would have never won the ONE championship, and there would have been no discussion about the removal of the 125 pound division, because you would have had one of the most dominant champions in mixed martial arts history in that division. I think Cejudo and the TJ Dillashaw fight should have never happened, because what did Cejudo do to warrant the Dillashaw fight? He did nothing. He had a fluke win over Demetrius Johnson. A fluke win. If you watch the fight, I don't know whether or not you watched the fight yet, but I watched the fight, and even on a bad knee, I felt DJ won that fight 3-2. Cejudo has definitely, I want to say that he has definitely took advantage of his new stardom. You know, he has his own drink. You see, he always on Twitter now. You know, he's always talking now. But the UFC, they could save the flyweight division easily. On this same card, they probably should have had an interim flyweight championship fight between Joseph Benavidez and Jussie Formiga, and that would have helped solve the problem of the flyweight division and would have kept some interest in it. Because these guys, man, when they go up to 135, they're not going to be competitive. Sergio Pettis against Rob Font was a total mismatch. So I didn't like that fight. I didn't like it when it was announced. They can say the 125 division if they want to, but I just feel like they don't want to, and they're willing to cut their losses with the 125. But if Cejudo loses, you will see him probably campaign for the Joseph Benavidez fight, because that's probably the next big money fight that he can get, because Benavidez is definitely worthy of a championship fight. So, but Cejudo just proved himself to be a fraud. A guy with a slick tongue that talked his way into a situation and definitely has to back it up. So, for that reason, I hope Morais knocks his head off and then Cejudo will go back down to 125 and we'll probably have 3 fights in the 125 division. You'll probably have Benavidez versus Cejudo. And then Formiga versus the winner. And maybe we'll get one more fight. And then I think the 125 division goes bye-bye.
Yeah, Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we'll have to just see what happens. We pretty much got through like a ton of stuff tonight, and we were just about running out of time. So, you know, I wish we could have got some more, but it's always next week. We'll save it for the next show. And also, I apologize to people that we hadn't been on in a week or so. I had just graduated college. I graduated my bachelor's degree in college, so I was pretty much on an alcohol diet for like a week straight. So that was what that was. And yeah, so I'm back and I'm here. So my bad, but we out here, and that's a fact. So Lee and Keys, real talk, we doing this. Everybody love each other and sing and dance your way. And just be happy and have positive vibrations and tell somebody you love them and appreciate them today. And that's pretty much all I got. Lee, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man, I have some stuff I wanted to go over tonight too. But you know, look out for our 100th episode. That's gonna be fun. It's going to be a night. We're going to have some fun with our 100th episode. For those people that are true fans of our show, it might not be strictly a UFC show. We're going to definitely talk about some of probably our first show. We'll probably talk about some of our favorite shows. And we're going to have some fun with our 100th episode show. So might have some people call in that's been on the show in the past. And see what happens. But, thanks for listening. Everybody take care of yourself, take care of each other. Lee and Keys out. Peace.